What is up, degenerates? We're back. Week 3 is in the books. A couple of really exciting games, one big blowout, and a few disappointments. I'm joined by my co-host, Mr. Ben Stefan and Mr. Diego Chahin. Ben, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. I had a pretty good week. I think I was 15 for 21 this week. So I had a good week for fantasy, and which is nice considering my Panthers play like absolute shit this week again. So, looking forward to week 4 and keeping my trade rolling. So happy to be here, man. It's been a long day.
Yeah, it has definitely been a long day. It's been a long week already, and it's only Tuesday. I mean, I thought your Panthers did all right with Andy Dalton. I mean,
there's just a lot of expectations on the defense, and it's been beaten up, broken, guys out for the season, lots of injuries, not looking great, and then just sort of frustrating to see some guys that had high hopes for almost look like they're lacking effort out there. The running game's not really going too much. I don't know. It's just not exciting football, and I was hoping at least like this year would be fun to watch with younger guys, new weapons, new things to do, but it feels like the same old team at the moment. So I'm hoping by week 7, 8, 9, that area, we've started to pick it up and it's gelling a bit better, but I don't know. It just wasn't fun to watch.
No, I get you. I get you. I mean, you could be a Patriots fan.
Hey, you won though.
We won. We did win. Diego, how are you doing? Your Dolphins had a pretty good week.
Yeah, the Dolphins had a pretty good week. I had a pretty good fantasy week. I didn't go up against any Dolphins, so that's good. If you went up against those Dolphins, I'm sorry for your loss. I'm sure there's someone out there that went up against all these high-scoring guys. But no, had a good week. Looking forward to the show, getting some conversations here going. We're in the middle of the season now, getting in there. Exciting stuff coming in.
No, for sure, for sure. The only Dolphin I started this week was A-Chain in the Harry Potter League that you guys are both in and took the high score by quite a bit. And I only did that off of Brand's recommendation in EDL when he said he was going for a long touchdown. And I was like, do I run P Ryan out there or do I use A-Chain? I'm like, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to go with A-Chain and see what happens. And now he is A-Chan.
Yeah, I got a team that I started where I had Mostert, Hill, and Keenan Allen. So that was fun.
That's
that game was
week.
Over quickly. Yeah, that was a big week. That's a big high scoring team as well.
No, that's good. I won over half, probably close to 60% of my leagues this week too. So having a pretty decent start to the season. A lot of decent amount of 2-1s. I think I've got 4 3-0s, and I got a couple of 1-2 teams that only lost by a couple of points. So optimistic for the season so far. So we did have another beer bet get resolved this weekend. the Patriots did not get swept in the division. I do know, Ben, when we made the bet that you were counting on Aaron Rodgers to be there, and it would have been a completely different game. I mean, it was almost a different game. You conceded after 10 to nothing, and they tried to find a way to lose it. But the Patriots ended up being victorious, and they did not get swept in the division. And now there's a good chance that they still could finish third in the division this year. So
that's Steve's beer.
I'm just racking them in this year. I want to be drunk by the time the season's over.
I keep hearing the same thing over and over.
Yeah,
I know.
Steve's beer. I don't know. Yeah, like once Rodgers went out and the Jets got relegated to the CFL, it was pretty much done. So I don't know if it counts cause since they're not in the league anymore that they won. So if you guys don't finish third in your division, that will be something really bad happened unless the Jets make a trade. But we'll see what happens, I guess.
Yeah. They signed Trevor Siemian today, which we'll talk about in just a second. So until he fails as well.
There's only one move.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't understand why they're so stuck on just sticking with Zach Wilson. It does not make sense to me. Like you saw what he was the last 2 weeks and how he can't complete drives. And, you know, they throw up a phantom pass interference penalty to give him another shot so that they can score a touchdown. But
yeah, like, I don't know how you don't jumpstart the Minnesota tank job. Go get Kirk Cousins off the 0-3 Vikings and see what happens. Like, you jump right back in the mix and you have to do it soon.
Yeah. I mean, they're, you know, they've got one or two more weeks before they're in a spot where they can't dig out of it. So they need to make a move and trade for somebody. Cousins, I mean, Minshew.
That's the one that makes the most sense.
Is a big option. Because he's going to be a little cheaper than Cousins and you're already paying Rodgers, but there's a couple things that make sense. And Robert Saleh is adamant. He's sticking with Zach Wilson. So I don't know.
Unreal.
That's how coaches get fired. Somebody should
I was gonna say his job's going to be on the line for sure.
So talking about that, let's jump into the news for this week. There's a few things to talk about.
Breaking news.
So week four brings us the first of our international games. The Atlanta Falcons and Jacksonville Jaguars travel to London for the first of, I believe, four English games and two games in Germany this year. So that'll be on at 9:30 Eastern time on Sunday. So remember, put those players in before you go to bed because you don't want to be trying to scramble and get guys in and moved around in your lineup when you're just getting that first morning cup of coffee or while you're sitting in church. Jacksonville usually plays pretty well over there, so it'll be interesting to see after
they need, the last they couple need to weeks. Make something happen, man, because it got ugly this week.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what happened. The wheels fell off of that train. I know Ridley kind of got injured. He played through it, but they just did not seem to be on the same page for a lot of that game. So like I said before, the Jets signed Trevor Siemian pending a physical to the practice squad. I believe that's actually official.
Yeah, it's official. Update on that. Yeah. He passed his physical. I guess that's good. I don't know how much good is it going to be for the offense, but you guys were talking about it. It's been bad, and I think the only reason is you're saying, why do they keep him? Looking at the numbers, is like a $12 million dead cap hit if they drop him next year. So just the season's quickly week three, and they need to figure something out because you can also tell by watching the games that there's internal things starting to happen with the team. Frustration from the players. Yeah,
I mean, he lost the locker room last year quickly, and we're two games in and you can see that he's already lost the team again. So like there's arguing and stuff on the sidelines. The defensive guys are fed up already. They're too much time on the field. Like it's going to be another week and there's going to be a revolt. So, I mean, Siemian may not be the answer, but he might be a bridge. I don't know. I think they need to do something like Ben said, go after Cousins or one of these other backups. I mean, I'd almost say, why don't you just sign Carson Wentz? He's not as bad, you know, it's not worse. He's just as bad, but he's not worse. And at least the people in the locker room might like him.
News this week was that Carson Wentz and Matt Ryan reached out to the New York Jets and said, hey,
yeah, we're available. Play.
We're available.
Yeah, I mean.
Did it go through?
No. I Matt Ryan would be fine. I mean, he's declined, but he's still better than Zach Wilson. And your fantasy assets are going to have some value. And he's been to a Super Bowl. So, you know, he brings that experience as well. And you got Rodgers on the sideline. I don't understand why Saleh is so adamant. I get the money. Like, they can't drop Zach Wilson and he's cheap, but.
Could you get Tannehill?
Unless you're tanking, I guess. Ben?
Could you get Tannehill? No, just what are like just other quarterbacks they could possibly get? I don't think Simeon's going to be any better than Zach Wilson's going to be, but I'm just trying to think other guys that they could go get.
The other option
only going to be locked in for like a 1 year deal on. So I'm wondering how much Tanny's got left in his contract.
They could have gotten Winston, but I think with what happened this weekend now, that's off the table.
Yeah, Winston's off the table.
Yeah. I want to say Tannehill would be a good option because he plays well with like if he's protected and he's got time, decent weapons. They have a good running game. He would fit pretty well, I think.
Yeah, but they don't have an offensive line, so
yeah. So it's Tannehill's contract's up at the end of the year.
Yeah, so that's a move like you can make because it doesn't kill you cap wise next year.
Yeah, and, but they're is Vrabel gonna let him go because they still not? Think that they can compete? Like, you know what I mean? That's
they have two guys that they want to see how they do. I mean, take an extra pick and like a second or whatever you can get, and I don't know, see what you can do. Because
yeah, I don't disagree with you. I'm just they're 1-2 right now.
They're ugly. They play like crap too.
I know, but their division's not that great. Like you got Houston, NFL Jacksonville,
teams are still frustrating,
and Indianapolis and Tennessee. So it's up for grabs.
It's just so many franchises like this that like to be like kings of the mid until something good goes their way. 1 year they end up with 10 wins and think they're really good, and then end up back at like 7 wins, 6 wins. Like they're very frustrating to watch, this team.
It is, and it doesn't make for good football.
No.
Hopefully the Jets will do something soon, and we'll get some exciting football back because they have a good team, and it's a shame to watch games like we had to watch this weekend.
Absolutely.
All right. So the Gainwell versus Swift debate, we got an update for that. So this last week with Gainwell in, carries were pretty close to 50-50. Gainwell had 14 attempts for 43 yards. Swift had 16 attempts for 130 yards. I think Gainwell had a few catches as well. But pretty close to a decent split. But Swift is definitely more efficient on the ground. I think Gainwell's going to get more of the passing work and is pretty efficient with that too. Diego?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think with this weekend, Swift taking the 1A role there. Gainwell's carries, 8 of those carries, I believe, came in when the game was almost over. So that also drives the numbers up there. But it was just interesting to watch where they would land with Gainwell coming back. So that was a little bit of an expectation. Maybe they still keep going at 50-50. But right now, Swift is the hot hand. So you got to understand that he is the 1A and Gainwell right now, 1B.
All right, Ben?
Yeah, fortunately, the Eagles are a pretty good running team, so you could probably play both guys most weeks in a flex spot. Swift, you could probably move up at this point into one of your regular running back spots. Guy you're probably going to play most weeks unless you're super stacked at the running back position. But I wouldn't mind throwing Gainwell out there because the chances for touchdowns on this offense is going to be pretty good most of the season, and they get down there. Unless they're within the 1 yard line, then as a running back, you're screwed because it's only Jalen Hurts that goes in from there. I think Swift's a better back, and but I don't think he's a back that they can give 25 carries to in a game, 20 carries to in a game. He's not that kind of back, so this split's probably good for him.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's how it stays.
It's the way it should work out most of the season. It'll be these two guys doing this, and Swift probably getting the better efficiency on the ground. But like you said, Gainwell getting the passing yards and hopefully getting into the end zone is great for PPR.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think you can start both of them as flex guys pretty confidently right now with what looks like Philadelphia's offense getting back to all cylinders this last weekend. Last night, I guess. Keep an eye on it. And I think in the next week or two, it should kind of shake out a little bit better. Derrick Henry was out-snapped this week by Tyjae Spears. He did come in with a bad toe, but looking at Henry's, numbers and efficiency the first couple of weeks, week one hit a couple good catches for big yards on the ground, 4 yards per carry, but 15 attempts and 63 yards. Week two, 25 attempts, 80 yards. He did get a touchdown, but only 3.2 yards per carry and inefficient in the passing game. And then this last weekend, only 11 attempts, 20 yards, and no passing down work. So I would imagine part of that's because of the toe, but Tyjae Spears is also getting a decent amount of the snap share. Like he had 50% or pretty close to that week one. almost 30% week two, and then another 50% this week. So, Diego, what do you think about that situation? And is Ty J somebody you're looking at picking up on waivers?
If he's in waivers, you got to pick him up. So if you're lucky, he's still there. You got to go heavy on it. I think this is worrisome. I think Henry, we could be seeing the end of King Henry here, not only because of him, it's just a team. We knew it was not going to be good coming in. And I wouldn't be surprised if this is kind of a changing of the guard. Maybe Tennessee decides to move on from Henry. I mean, there could be a team that's needy at running back, and we see something happen before the trade deadline. But yeah, Henry right now, it's scary to play him. It's also he's very script dependent, and the team doesn't seem to be with that mindset that they had last year, where let's just give him 25 plus carries and just let's put the game on his shoulder. That's not happening right now. That's what you want from Henry, and it is worrisome.
No, I would agree. It's possible that at age 29 and with the amount of usage he's had over the last couple of years, that it's finally catching up to him. Ben, what are your thoughts?
A little concerned just with the injury, but and the snap percentage by the rookie going up. But Derrick Henry has notoriously been a slow starter, and when the colder weather comes, this guy somehow turns it on, and that team runs the ball a lot better. He might be a guy you could probably get on a team for pretty cheap, I think. Like, one more week of this and guys are going to be panicking and trying to sell for whatever. So if you can sell a flavor of the week running back with a decent wide receiver or something, and you can get a Derrick Henry that's going to help you later. Like, if you're in a 2-1, 3-0 position at the moment, he wouldn't be a bad ad for your late season run, because I do think he's still going to pick it up and have better games this year. But there is definitely some concern with a toe injury that usually hampers some guys for a while. So we'll see what happens. But I'm cautiously optimistic that it goes the other way again for this guy and the cold weather hits and he comes back out.
Yeah, it's possible. People were calling for the decline of him last year, and it didn't happen. And it was after a few bad games to start the season. So definitely is possible he springs back as the weather gets colder and football gets a little bit more underway and teams kind of shake out what they actually are. Plus the toe's going to heal. So, that's going to make a big difference too. Is this Jameson Williams, Diego?
Yeah, Jameson Williams is coming. Yeah.
So Jameson Williams will be returning from his suspension on week 7.
Just a reminder. He may be on waiver wires.
Yeah, just somebody to look for. If your league doesn't allow you to stash suspended players on IR, he might be worth a grab this week or next so that you have him when he's back.
And just especially because by week 7, waivers are super thin, so it might be worth just a shot.
Yeah. No, definitely you want to get him sooner rather than later if he's out there, because other people are going to, listen to our podcast or other podcasts, and they're going to be talking about him as a target. So you want to get him before your friends. Speaking of coming back from suspensions, Alvin Kamara is back this week from his 3-game suspension. Ben, is Kamara somebody you're going to slot right into your lineup this week, or are you going to be a little bit leery and wait a week?
Unfortunately, in the position that I'm in the leagues that I have Kamara, I have to, because I think I have been maybe one league, to be honest. It's a dynasty league, and I've lost Aaron Jones, Saquon Barkley, a bunch of my flex players. So I'm going to have to put him in. I wouldn't like to. I'd like to see. If you can wait and see what's going to happen, is his snap load full? Do they bring him back up slowly? Not that he's coming back from an injury, just get him back up to game speed from sitting. Because I don't think he's been able to practice since the preseason ended, right?
Yeah, when they're suspended, they can't be with the team.
Right, so it's been 3 weeks of basically doing nothing other than his own work. So Yeah, I'd wait a week, but if you have to play him, obviously you fire him up. But
New Orleans has Tampa this week, just for reference.
Yeah, divisional game though, so that'll be played hard. Tampa always plays; they play each other tough. New Orleans finds a way to make that running game work somehow. But
well, a lot of that I think is going to depend on who's behind center, if it's Carr or if it's Jameis Winston. So, Diego, what are your thoughts on Kamara? And then
I think we covered most of it. I think if based on need, you play him. Bit of a split here, which is why on that bet with Ben, I wanted to take my guy to three games and not one-on-one on 1 week. Although I would have won, by the way. But no, nothing more to add there.
All right. So for me, I picked Kamara up several places, you know, later in drafts to be my running back three, running back four. That backfield is a mess. So I'm going to fire him up if I need, you know, an RB2 or if I need to put in, you know, somebody that I'm hoping that's going to get a touchdown in my flex spot, because it, you know, if you're at that point, Kamara is probably the best chance. Usually, you know, guys coming out like this, there's always the potential for like a hamstring injury or something like that. So that's definitely weighing in the back of my mind. It is, like you said, Ben, you know, kind of wait, see how it works out. But I'm kind of in that position where I took him, and with injuries and underperforming, that I have to take a chance, especially if I'm 1-2 or 0-3, to get that upside play and get a guy that, you know, is going to get some receiving work and has a chance to get into the end zone once or twice. So I'm gonna be rolling Kamara out where I have him. And then the last little thing about news: Indianapolis Colts upset Baltimore in overtime. Minshew Mania is back. he played very well. Obviously, they're gonna still roll out with Richardson when he's healthy, but you know, two injuries the first two games. Minshew's worth a grab if you've got a deeper roster and you have Richardson. He's going to get you a decent amount of fantasy points, and it gives you a little bit of security to have the guy to plug in if you get a last-minute out or something like that, if something flares up with an injury or he doesn't clear concussion protocol or something like that. So I actually enjoyed that game. It was pretty good back and forth. I don't know. What do you guys think about the Ravens? I'm kind of mixed feelings right now about how I feel with them. Diego?
I think their offense is not what we all expected. We thought this new offense was going to be a lot better. Lamar, he's working out for your fantasy teams. I think they really took a hard hit with the Dobbins injury when it comes to Ravens. That backfield is a mess. The rookies working out for them. Flowers is good. Andrews is struggling there. So it's a bit of a, I would just play Lamar, Flowers. And the tight end is just such a mess. You keep playing the main guys and wait to see where they land, but they got to get it together. It's not exactly working for them right now.
No, definitely not. Ben?
I feel like I was right. I think I said this before, that Lamar is not a high volume passing quarterback. He's not going to be able to support lots of weapons in the passing game. The Dobbins injury definitely hurt them, because they are still going to be a running team. And if they can't do that as well as they were in the week one, they're going to have some issues. Definitely a spot where a team could add a big running back. But the Ravens always find a way to stay in the mix. So they won't be tanking. They won't be doing anything special to suck, but they'll be a little frustrating for fantasy purposes. I definitely agree. The only three players, I guess, you got to start Andrews. But the only other two players I'd be playing would be Lamar and Flowers as well. The rest of the team, like Bateman, I've been sitting. I've cut him some places. Gus Bus, I'm out. Like, there's just not much to say about that offense. They're not putting up a lot of points.
No, it's not as exciting of an offense as what we were expecting. I'm still holding Gus just because of the running back landscape is kind of tough, and you may we have to start him here.
Yeah, but we'll talk about Gus in the next section.
Yeah. So, but yeah, like you guys say, Lamar and Flowers, that's it. But your beer bet with Andrew right now, Ben, you're winning somehow.
Barely.
With Darren Waller over yeah. Mark Andrews with 25 points to 23.
Yeah, barely. Real nail-biter. Yeah, it'll be close like that, I think, most of the season.
Yeah, but this
hopefully this for is other, gross other reasons. Close. Like, yeah, hopefully for other reasons it's close. Like, I'd like to see both guys take off because it's not fun to watch players suck that are supposed to be good. So
no, I mean, Hunter Henry is the tight end three right now after 3 weeks. Kelce moved into the tight end five with missing a week. But it's definitely an ugly landscape right now from where we were expecting things at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
So that will wrap up the news. We'll jump into some injury updates.
The injury report.
All right. So Derek Carr suffered an AC joint sprain. I believe that's in his non-throwing shoulder. Diego?
No, I think it's actually his. No, it's his throwing shoulder. Okay. He's going to miss time. I don't think he's there for week four that we were talking about. No. I think it's Winston. And it could go on to week five.
Because the reports I saw initially, early yesterday were that he potentially could play this week. It would just be pain management. That's why I had thought I had read that it was in the non-throwing shoulder. But if it's in his throwing shoulder, he's missing a week. Even pain management, every time he throws, it's gonna bother him.
Yeah, just checked it out, confirmed it's his right shoulder.
Yeah, so he's gonna definitely miss a week. What are your thoughts on Saints receivers and stuff with Jameis Winston under center? He didn't look great when he took over, but you know, he'll have a full week of practice now and kind of shook the rust off, I guess. Ben?
Switched it up on me. Yeah.
I think the only guy I'm playing this week against the Bucs is Chris Olave. Just to kind of see what happens, because like, you probably start Michael Thomas, I guess, but Jameis Winston's not the same as Derek Carr as far as effectiveness with this offense, and it already wasn't a super high-flying offense at the time. So I would take the younger, better wide receiver with Chris Olave, and I'd probably hold on to and wait and see with the rest of that team to see what happens. I'm not a big fan of playing any of the running backs at this moment, also because they're just going to be stacking the box a lot. With Kamara back, so
yeah, you wouldn't roll out Shaheed with Chuck It Up Winston?
No.
Not looking for a 30-30 game.
Tampa's got a good defense. They're gonna lock it down.
They do. They have good corners too. All right, Diego, your thoughts?
So I actually don't think it's such a huge downgrade. I've never been a Carr fan, so I would probably I'll risk it with Shaheed there. You don't know which Winston's going to show up. So for fantasy purposes, I don't know if this is good for like the team and winning a game, but for fantasy purposes, you know what he'll do. He'll go out there, chuck it, get in trouble. Although he's toned that down a little bit.
A lot.
Kind of about the same for me. I really didn't have the Saints as a high flying offense as it was. So not really excited to play anyone there. And on the running backs, with Kamara coming back, now it becomes a committee. The rookie there, it's a bit messy. We're talking flex territory. Like Ben said, maybe Olave because he could get the volume, but not. If I can find something elsewhere, I'd look elsewhere.
Yeah, no, I'm in agreement with you guys on Olave. Like I said before, I'll roll out Kamara most likely just because I have to. And fortunately, where I have Michael Thomas, I have to start him, and I'm kind of okay with that. I look for a smaller number, probably close to 10 points, but I'm not gonna roll out Shaheed. I'd like to, but I'm gonna wait a week and see what happens, just because Tampa's defense is pretty good and they may struggle a little bit to move the ball, so I don't want to have too many pieces of that offense out there on what could be a down week. Several players in concussion protocol this week. Jimmy Garoppolo Gus Edwards, Rashad Bateman, Jonathan Mingo. Justin Fields suffered what looked like a concussion during his game, was able to come back, but now they're, I think, being evaluating him for concussion. So worth watching with all these players under the new protocol. Two-thirds of the players that go into concussion protocol don't play that same week. It takes them 2 weeks to get back. So just something to keep an eye on. The Raiders with Jimmy G, when he went out, they're definitely not the same team. So I'm not sure, other than Devontae Adams and Jacobs, that I want to run anybody out there. But, I mean, I don't really think you were you, Diego?
No, that's scary. With the Raiders, as bad as they've been, maybe your hopes are that you can get something out of Jacobs, but no, that's very scary.
Yeah, that one will be tough. Ben, with Mingo out, I mean, he's not a huge part of the Panthers offense yet, but he's definitely going to be missed. Who's going to step up into that offense, and do you anticipate that Bryce Young's going to play this week? If so, who are you looking at? And if he doesn't, are you looking at kind of a Andy Dalton, Thielen connection again?
So even when Bryce was in the first 2 weeks, Thielen's his highest targeted player. And I think that's going to continue, because I think he's the best wide receiver they have as far as talent, as far as experience, getting open, running the shorter routes that the team seems to like to run so far. The only other passing option on that team that I like is Hurst, because tight end kind of sucks, and he's been getting the looks. He got a touchdown week one. I don't think Bryce plays, and that's just based off of the reports. Like, he's said that to the coaching staff that he's feeling better, but he's not ready to practice yet. And if he's not ready to practice yet, I don't think they're going to run him out there or rush this. So I think you're going to get another week of Dalton. And a lot more Adam Thielen. And I think that's kind of going to be the pattern most of the year. Like, Terrace Marshall seems to be invisible. Mingo, he's getting his targets. His effort level doesn't look great out there, and I think he's going to miss some time. So Thielen is the weapon that I'd be after if you're looking for a Panther to start for some reason. But I did want to just kind of circle back to this whole concussion protocol thing. I think this 2 week thing should be an automatic. Like, if you enter concussion protocol, I think you should be out 2 weeks, or at least the game you get it, and then one more week.
I mean, yeah, I think some of these guys get, you know, just because they have helmet to helmet contact, get put into the protocol and they come through with no symptoms, but they don't get cleared during the game. You know what I mean? So they get into it a couple of days and then they clear. So I wouldn't want a mandatory 2 week just because of that, because, you know, they don't screen well during the game. A lot of them, you know, once you get hit, you go in the tent. If there's any question at all, you're out. Like, but you may not have a concussion. So,
yeah, I think if that initial screening, though, it goes and they pull you that game, that you probably should, like, I don't know, there's got to be some sort of way to. I think it's just safer for the players, and we might, and it's also kind of almost helpful.
Yeah, to planning, just know planning wise,
out, the you know they're play. Out, but like, I think for safety wise for players, like, concussions are obviously the biggest thing right now as far as threat to their future safety, and their future, like, quality of life. So I think protecting the players' heads is really important, and the 2 weeks might be just like a nice little buffer. You make sure a guy is good to go, and you're not rushing them back out there like Tua. So,
yeah, no, I kind of agree with that. I don't think it hurts. You know, if they, you know, say they clear the concussion protocol by, let's say, you know, Wednesday, if they played on Sunday, Thursday, if they played on Monday, you know, then they're good to go. But if they can't clear it in that first 2 or 3 days, then they're automatically out for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I would be fine with something like that.
Yeah.
All right, so Mike Williams tore his ACL, and did, from what I read, also did some damage to his MCL. He's out for the season. I don't know. We can't go too far into the season without Mike Williams being out. So this is kind of expected. I do feel for the guy because I don't think he's had a complete season in the NFL. Diego, what does this do to the Chargers as far as wide receivers? And are you hopeful or looking at Josh Palmer and or Quentin Johnson?
So you have to look at them. There needs to be a number two right now. It looks like, unfortunately, it looks like the rookie hasn't gotten a lot of targets. Probably going to see some more snaps for him. I think at this point, you got to look at, okay, what are you looking for? Is it a safe bet or maybe can something happen here with the rookie? But for the Chargers, I think it's not helping also that they don't have Eckler. It looks like Eckler could be out through their bye week, which I think is week 5. And that kind of explains the behavior that you've seen with Keenan Allen. So yeah, you got to go after one of these guys, whoever you prefer. Palmer has just always been there kind of hovering, and he's just so inconsistent that it might be just worth a shot just going after the rookie and see if he can really establish. But it would be something that could happen towards more the back of the season. So, but you got to try and go after one of these guys. Something has to change with the offense just because they lost their number two.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. They had a good offensive week again this week. You know, they're putting up points. They're putting up yards. Herbert threw for 400 yards this week. I think the rookie's got to get a shot now that Mike Williams is out with more targets. Palmer stepped up last year. He was a little inconsistent, but when Keenan Allen was out, he stepped into that role and played pretty well. So I think I'd probably look at him now and look at Johnson a little bit later in the season, but you may have to grab him now if you want a shot at that. Ben, any other thoughts on that?
The only thing I'd caution is just play style of these players. So like Quentin Johnson was obviously brought in to be Mike Williams' replacement. Their play style, body style is very similar. And Palmer's play style was replacing Keenan Allen's. The short route stuff, the high volume guy, which Keenan Allen is still there and doing very well at this year. So I'm not sure Palmer is going to get the Mike Williams role. And we might see Quentin Johnson just get thrust into that with the deep balls. I wouldn't be surprised if he puts up a touchdown this week. And that offense, it's humming. Like they get points. If their defense could do anything, they'd be a really good team. I think we're just going to see even more Keenan Allen.
They're passing like crazy because their running game is just anything. It's bad.
Yeah, they have no running backs with
that. Passing works.
So, yeah, they definitely need to look at, an alternative behind Eckler because the guys that they have are not working out.
We're Spiller.
A running game.
Eckler's he's on the team. Spiller's on the team, and Eckler's on his last year of the contract. They didn't want to give him a new contract. So they need to figure out what they're going to do with the running game.
Yeah, like Joshua Kelly's not working. They haven't really given Spiller an opportunity, but
I'd like to see that.
I would like to see that as well, but for whatever reason, they're not doing it. So hopefully that'll change. Patrick Mahomes suffered an ankle sprain. It's the same ankle that he sprained in the Super Bowl. He was able to play through, and they took him out because they were so far ahead. It's just something to monitor. I do believe he's going to play. It's a pain tolerance thing for him, and they'll tape it up. And, he's got a week to rest it. So just something to keep an eye on. I don't think he's going to miss any time unless it gets worse. Calvin Ridley had a right MCL sprain. He played through that. They anticipate he's going to make the trip to London and play this week. Another thing to just keep an eye on is probably another pain management thing. And then Hunter Henry, had a left ankle sprain late in the Jets game. I think it was later in the fourth quarter. He didn't return for the last series, but he could have. So it just another thing to monitor. He should also play this week. So that should wrap up the injuries, unless there's anybody else you guys want to talk about.
No, I think we covered it.
Nope.
All right. So we will move on into some of the dominant performances again.
The boom bust players.
All right, so obviously the Dolphins game by now, unless you, I don't know, if you're listening to this podcast, you definitely know what happened with the Dolphins. so they blew out the Denver Broncos. What's the viability of this offense going forward? Diego, can you start with confidence, the two running backs, Smythe? Obviously, Tyreek Hill is not a question. Waddle, I don't really think is a question. And Tua is not really a question. But, you know, is there anybody else on the team that, you know, might be interesting fantasy-wise? Or, you know, like I said, the two running backs and a tight end. What are your thoughts?
No, you at this point, you can start all the pieces. They temper expectations this week. They have a tougher matchup going up to Buffalo. But this offense is in high gear. There's plenty of points around fantasy. The running backs, some changes may happen there. It was a perfect situation for the running backs this weekend. I watched a lot of that game. But, you know, from an offense perspective, you start them until anything goes wrong and just hope nothing goes wrong.
Yeah, no, that's fantasy in a nutshell.
Yeah. No, but then for spot starts, you can look at the other wide receivers, but this Rockcraft guy, what was it? He also ended up, I think, in concussion protocol. So you're running out of pieces. And then you asked about tight ends. I don't feel comfortable about that start at tight end.
Okay. Ben, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, obviously you run Hill out there. You run Waddle out there to a Mostert seems to be the guy that you definitely are 100% comfortable putting into your lineup. He's had a fire start to the season. My main question is, like, what do you do with A-Chain? Like, I had him on a bench this week, put up 52 points. Luckily, that team, I also had Keenan Allen and Herbert, and my team put up like 240 points. So it was okay to not put, I didn't need the 50 burger, but like, who do you start him over? Where's the cutoff line for that is hard to say at the moment. Like,
you don't know how much they're going to use him.
Yeah. Like, he had good usage and he took advantage of all of it, which is nice to see. And he is super fast. It's just a matter of I don't know if the Buffalo game is going to look as wide open as that one did. It very well could. Like, they could come out hot again. I'm just not sure in the teams that I have a guy like A-Chain where I put him in. Like, do I put him in over a guy that I know is going to get me between 12 to 15 points and I'm praying for that big game? Or do I put in that guy that's going to get the 12 to 15 because A-Chain might put up three?
To me, I think you put in the guy that's going to get that you're pretty confident in getting 12 to 15. You know, I'm looking at A-Chain as if I'm on the fence of, you know, starting Josh Palmer this week or A-Chain, I'm going to start A-Chain. You know,
let's play the game running back wise, right? Mm-hmm. So would you start him over Najee?
No. Yes.
You, Ben?
I don't think so.
No, you keep Najee in?
Yeah.
I mean, Najee hasn't had 10 points yet this season, right?
But his workload is more guaranteed, is why I would start him.
It's not so much.
getting close to a split. Okay, here's a difficult one. Breece Hall against Kansas City.
Who are the Jets playing? Kansas City?
KC.
Yeah.
I'll take Breece Hall.
Okay. Yeah, same. And then the other running back, Pacheco, same game.
I'll take A-Chain.
A-Chain, yeah.
Right. So I think that's kind of your line, right?
Yeah. I mean, he's, I'm going to say, if you're looking at a high end two or a low end one kind of range, like let's call it the 15, the running back 15 range. If you're below that, I'm going to give A-Chain the shot. If I'm above that, I'm going to stay with, I'm going to stay with that guy. Maybe 18, running back 18.
Yeah, I was going to drop it a little bit around the 18 to 20. That's where I would run it.
Yeah, I started looking at the running backs that are at 15. Yeah. So, yeah, probably closer to 18, but still that's your RB2 on your team or, a flex spot. So there's definitely several situations that I'm going to roll with it until that train gets brought to a halt, because from week to week, between him and Mostert, it with 50-50 splits, they could both break off a 65-yard touchdown. So I'm going to try and hit that with my flex guy. So moving on from that, Ja'Marr Chase back on track. He was 12 of 15 for 141 yards on Monday night and helped lead the Bengals to a victory. Any concerns with you guys on Higgins right now? He's had some trouble getting going, but I still think that's partly of the offense. Ben?
Not overly. Like, if I have him, I'm still going to play him pretty much every week. Joe Burrow's, somehow the conversation shifted away from his injury after they won. But I think that injury is going to linger for a few more weeks, and it's going to be a little bit slow ramping up for a guy like Higgins. Chase, I think you're probably safe to continue to roll out and expect the big numbers, the big volume again. But I'd say like maybe a 20% concern of Higgins. I'm not super concerned. Keep running him out there. He will get his. He's a very good player and a guy that they're going to need if they're going to make any kind of run towards the playoffs, towards a Super Bowl appearance.
Yeah. Diego, any different thoughts on?
No, not different. I think because everything comes through what you can get back from Burrow and him feeling better with those throws. It's just the offense still doesn't look good. I think they scored their first touchdown, if I'm not mistaken, this weekend, and that's not what we expected for this offense. So yeah, there's some concern there, but you keep starting him when he gets. You can still like Chase, you can get there. Higgins is just going to be a little bit more just volatile. You can have this good game and then a bad game. That's kind of where you are with that offense.
Yeah, I think so. Until they can. Until they can get moving a little bit more confidently and he can get over the injury. So back to Diego's oldies but goodies list. Keenan Allen was 18 to 20 for 215 yards.
And he threw for a touchdown.
And he threw for a touchdown, yeah. So he had a good fantasy week for you. Devontae Adams was 13 to 20, 172 yards and two touchdowns. He didn't have to throw for one. Adam Thielen was 11 for 14 for 145 yards and a touchdown. So three solid performances from three experienced guys. Veterans. Experienced veterans. And then Sam LaPorta continues to improve and have a pretty good rookie season so far. He was 8 of 11 for 84 yards and a touchdown.
By Titans standards, he's amazing.
Oh, so. he's almost at Kelsey level. I mean, it's week 3, so hopefully that continues. He's definitely an integral part of that offense. He's kind of doing what everybody expected Kincaid to do in Buffalo, which hasn't happened yet. They're still using Knox quite a bit there. So LaPorta is exciting to watch, and he's a guy that I was able to get in a few spots. I have him in a few redraft spots because I waited so long on tight end, and I'm kind of happy I did. So that'll wrap up the dominant performances piece. We wanted to talk about some trade targets to look at if you're started out 0-3, you want to do something to kind of turn things around, you know, kind of maybe look for these guys, make a change on your team just to try and get things going. Sometimes guys just don't work out on your team. So we've each got a name or two for a guy that you should look to acquire or get rid of in a package deal. So Ben, why don't you tell us about the trade that you saw today and what your thoughts are on Garrett Wilson?
Yeah. So my thoughts on you got an 0-3 team. You potentially have Garrett Wilson on it because he hasn't been doing what you drafted him to do. You spent high capital in a redraft league to get this guy. The big name is still there, and guys are, especially guys that are like maybe 2-1, 3-0, would definitely want to add a guy like Garrett Wilson. They might have some pieces that you could use. So I actually seen a trade, like I said, Steve said, trade today that I actually commented on, and I said if this had happened preseason or before week one or during week one, I might have had something to say about it. But it was trading away Garrett Wilson, and the guy added James Conner. And James Conner has been a 20-point-per-game guy this season through 3 weeks, which is kind of impressive on that trash Arizona team. So that's a move. Like, if you can capitalize on a big name and get a guy that's actually performing this year, that's nice. I would have liked to see that owner maybe get a little bit more to capitalize on the Garrett Wilson name. So, like, if you can package Wilson out and get a guy like, if you can get Connor and then add a Laporta, add an Ingram, add someone like that at a position that you might need, that's a good move because you're going to get two starters on your team and get rid of a guy that's probably been hampering you. So that would be one of my plays. Take one of those names that's been faltering you a little bit but still carries some trade value and move it for some pieces that might not be as sexy per se but are performing. That's a good way to turn that team around and battle back.
Yeah. No, I think that's a good point. Diego.
So my guy is Josh Jacobs. I think this player you can try and get. He hasn't been performing, I mean, by no means, but what he did last season. So in the same realm of what Ben was saying, the owner probably spent a lot for him. And I think he has a very decent schedule coming in. So if you can get him now before he starts getting some of these games. Now, it's risky. Obviously, we just spoke about Jimmy G being injured and probably not playing this week. But his next schedule is the Chargers, then Green Bay, then New England, Chicago, Detroit, so and then the Giants. So it's not a bad schedule. He has something decent here where he could give you better performances that he's been getting so far. He hasn't been killing the owner, but he's been hovering close to 10 points. So not even maybe running back to more flex territory. So it might be worth packing up one or two guys and seeing if this works, and then it opens up the schedule a little bit, and maybe the Raiders can get him going a little bit more and play to your advantage there.
So it's interesting to note too with Jacobs, he starts out slow. Last year, the first three games, 8.3 points, 9.10 points, 13.7, and then he strung together 3 30-point games. You know, this year, 9 points, 9 points, 11 points. So, and he's going up against the Chargers, Green Bay, and New England, which New England will probably be a little bit more of a problem, but then he's got Chicago and Detroit and the Giants and the Jets. Like, he's got some pretty soft schedules coming up. So he's definitely a guy that I would be going out and trying to get, especially if you've got somebody like maybe Jerome Ford, or Kyren Williams, James Conner. So, you know, one of these guys that's doing better and is kind of on people's radars right now. I'd be looking to flip one of those guys and get Josh Jacobs before he hits, because I expect for him, like Diego said, to really take off over the coming weeks because of the soft matchups that he should have. So the guy that I have is T. Higgins. We just kind of talked about that. He's on a good offense as they get going now, as Burrow, you know, gets more comfortable playing with the injury and the offense starts to get on track. I think Higgins is going to, you know, he's going to have his weeks just like he did last year. He's your wide receiver two or your wide receiver three. He shouldn't, you know, you shouldn't be relying on him for the big points every week. I think he's a guy that's underperformed enough and people might be just looking for a change. You know, you might be able to go out and get him for a running back or, you know, maybe move, I don't know, like Metcalf or like if you have Addison, you know what I mean? I don't know, Marquise Brown, maybe because he's being involved. Zay Flowers could be a juicy trade bait target for somebody like Higgins. What do you guys think about Higgins and are you interested in picking him up and kind of who would you look to move for him? Ben?
I'd like to pick him up. It's hard to say who you'd move for him, but if you can package maybe like Courtland Sutton's had a pretty good start to the season. If you can move him and maybe one of those young guys like you're talking about, like Kyren Williams, Puka, I probably would get rid of for T. Higgins this year. Just for the future of, I think with Cooper Kupp coming back, might eat into his season a little bit. Trade the rookie or the waiver wire. I shouldn't say rookie, the waiver wire, hot commodity, and try to get. You're not getting an aged veteran that's going to get hurt. Likely, you're getting a guy that's should be involved in a really high powered offense. That's the kind of move I would make. I wouldn't be trying to trade away, I don't think, any of my big names for him, but I'd be trying to move guys that are having good seasons early and get a guy that I think is going to have a good stretch.
Yeah, no, I would agree. Diego, do you have any other suggestions?
No, I think Ben covered that there. I can't think of any other guy to move.
All right. And then the last two guys that we have are both tight ends, Laporta and Evan Engram. Both guys that I think we all three agree that I'd like to go out and pick up, you know, with the tight end landscape as it's been. These are two guys you just put in there and not worry about until the bye weeks. Engram's bye week is going to be coming up, right?
Who, Engram?
Engram, yeah. Is he bye week six?
So he has week nine.
Oh, week nine.
Yeah, he's playing. Okay. Remember, he has the international game.
Yeah, I think what's messing me up is usually the team will play overseas and then they'll take the bye week the next week. Yeah, they didn't. So both of those guys are bye week nine. So you're going to be able to pick them up, put them in there for, you know, 5 weeks. And they're definitely going to help your team at a position that's hit or miss from week to week. So you can kind of put them in there and forget them. They're not really like Laporta's kind of a shiny name because he's a rookie, but Engram might be a guy that you can, you know, sneak in and grab for a decent price with maybe a bigger name. Maybe, I mean, would you guys send Mark Andrews for Engram or Laporta?
I would need a package back, like getting another player if I was going to send Mark Andrews out and get one of these guys back. Cause I think the name value of Mark Andrews, he's going to be worth more than that.
I think Andrews is injured, so that's why I wouldn't. Kind of want to wait a little bit more. I think he's still coming back from that injury. Remember, he did play week one.
Mm-hmm. Would you send him out and you know, maybe try to get Engram and a wide receiver or, mm-hmm. you know, or running back or something like that?
Give me.
You can always leverage name value in those type of trades. Yeah.
Yeah, you give me either of these guys with like Nico or Tank Dell or one of those kind of guys that's having really hot starts with a hot quarterback, I'd probably take that. But I've been pounding the Engram drum since he got picked up in Jacksonville.
So it's last year.
Yeah. I got roasted for it by Brian.
Well, everybody makes mistakes.
I will continue to beat that drum. I think he's a big target of that offense, and Trevor Lawrence and him have something going on. So, and it's nice to see Laporta. Goff uses tight end a lot, and he has carved himself a nice role. So I wouldn't mind moving Mark Andrews for either of those guys, but I'd want to get something back just to make me feel better about it.
Yeah. I mean, you're trading, you know, what people perceive to be the number two or number three tight end for potentially the number six or number eight, you know, so I get that. All right. So that will move us on from the trade targets. If you have a question about, should I move this guy, or, you know, what kind of value do you think you can get for this guy? You can reach out to any of us in Sleeper, and we can talk this through with you. It's something that we all three go through, and we're going through right now in our leagues as well. So it's something we enjoy talking about. So feel free to reach out to any of us on Sleeper, or send a message to the show, and we'll talk about it for you. So that'll move us on to the last segment for today, and the Magical World of Fantasy Football Chronicles. All right, so week three saw us all three go 3 correct and 2 wrong, which puts us at 8 correct for the season.
We're tied.
We're all tied.
3-way tie still.
Yeah, so we would be, so if this was actually with the coins, we would be plus 1. Yeah, we'd each have 1 coin so far. Not very great. Well, a couple of these I've only bet 4 during the week, so I'm actually doing a little bit better, but yeah. But I mean, we got 3 right, right? So we're going to hold on to that plus.
Yeah. Three out of five.
So, Daniel Jones, more or less fantasy points in Brock Purdy. This was way less.
Way less.
Yeah. My gut told me to go with Purdy. I went with Daniel Jones just to be different, and I was wrong. So Diego,
your gut was wrong. Just blame it on your
gut. Was wrong. It must have been indigestion. That was the feeling. Either that, or it was that second beer I opened. I don't know. So you and Ben were correct on that one. Bijan Robinson, more or less rushing yards than Jahmyr Gibbs. He had less. That was tragic.
That was a surprise because Atlanta, they didn't know what they were doing, but okay.
No. So all three of us picked more on that. So we missed on that one. TJ Hockenson, over under 6.5 receptions. He had 8. So that was over. Diego, you were the one with the correct answer on that one. Josh Jacobs, over under 49.5 rushing yards. That was the over. I think he had 62 rushing yards. So all three of us picked over on that one. And Puka Nacua is the leading receiver in the Rams-Cincinnati game. He was not. Diego, you and Ben both took true. I took false. And that's what puts us at 3. And then the special item of the week, choose any player to beat their projection. The 3 players on the show.
I think these players just... this is collusion. They colluded against us.
Yeah, they all three listened to the show, and they decided to lay down on us. Thankfully, when I actually put my answer in, I pivoted to Kenneth Walker, and I was able to get my coins. But
Jesus, I didn't.
So Steve's out here handing out advice and then not taking it.
And then I last minute pivoted.
Love it.
Yeah. So, well, so this used to be, it had to be a player on your team, and now it's just going to be anybody. And I was doing lineups when I was answering the questions. I'm like, you know what? I like Kenneth Walker here. I'm just going to go with that instead of Nico. So that's what I ended up doing. So if you followed my advice, I'm very sorry. I'll stick with what I pick on the air, and I'll suffer with you.
I just noticed a mistake in the math. Ben got one less than we did. So
just updated. So he's Ben's
behind.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's because he likes checking out our asses, Diego. Ben's in the old man ass. All right, so moving on to the week four questions. Question one for the Thursday night game. Sam Laporta, over under 60.5 yards receiving. Diego.
This is a beautiful line that's set. He's getting the receptions, but he's not really going downfield. But I'm going to take the over just because I think it's a good game. It's Detroit and Green Bay. This is a Thursday night game also.
Thursday night game. Yep.
Yeah, but Ben? I'm going to take the over.
I'm going to take the under. I think the receptions are going to be high. He might get in the end zone, but I don't think he's going to get over 60 yards. Green Bay's defense has been playing pretty good, so I think they're going to shut him down. And I'm going to go under on the yards, but I think he still has a good fantasy game.
I will stick with Diego. I will take the over. I think it's going to be very close to that, probably, 65 yards. But I think, like you say, he's going to get the touchdowns and still have a pretty good fantasy game. Question two. Any Miami running back scores at least two total touchdowns? Ben?
True. I think Mostert's going to get two, whether it's a rush and a reception. I think he's going to get in twice. Nobody's been really able to shut him down yet, and I think they're going to come out with a statement game against Buffalo. And I think he's the guy that's going to put it up for him. So I'm going to say true.
All right, Diego?
No idea what to say here.
I'm just going to do what Ben does.
when I don't write it down beforehand, he's scared.
He's got to pivot, yeah.
Probably have to. I'm going to say false. I'm going to go with false here. I think it'll be a bit of a closer game. I have no idea what the line's at, I think. I'm going to say false. Probably Wall comes back, and then what a tight ends get in there.
All right. Yeah, I'm also going to take false. I think Buffalo's run defense is a little bit better than what they've faced so far. I mean, New England had him tackled several times in the backfield. He's just very elusive. I don't think that Buffalo has the same problem. I think it gets spread around. Tyreek's going to get his touchdown. Waddle should be back. Like you say, probably a tight end. A good chance that both running backs get a touchdown. I just think it's going to be tough to get to one guy with that defense. So I'll take false. Yeah.
The line's at 53.5.
Yeah, so it should be a fairly, a lower scoring game than what Miami's used to.
I was going to say, it's not scoring, but okay.
It's not 90. So,
no. So, I mean, probably, mid-20s, right? 28, 29, 28, 30, something like that.
Yeah, 20, 30, something, yeah.
So, all right. Next question. Patrick Mahomes, over, under 270 passing yards. Diego.
This is against the Jets. I'm going to take the over on this one. I think just the Jets continue to lose and Mahomes comes out and is able to go over that.
All right, Ben?
Yeah, I think the same thing. The offense will be on the field a lot. The Jets will be punting a lot. So I think Mahomes, I don't think he cares what the score is. He passes the ball. He sticks to whatever the game plan was. And they don't have a really fierce running game. So I think he gets his yards. I think that's probably a lock for 280, 300 yards, probably in that range. So, yeah, definitely an over for me.
All right. I am going to take the under. I think the ankle is going to bother him a little bit, and I don't think he's going to have to pass for – as many as you guys think to beat the Jets. I think their defense is going to help them out. I think Zach Wilson's going to help them out, give them some short fields, and he won't have to pass for a ton of yards. I think it'll probably be a little bit closer to the game against Detroit than it was last week. Devontae Adams, more or less fantasy points than Keenan Allen. Diego.
I'm going to say less, going with a backup quarterback. And Keenan's just on fire. He's throwing touchdowns, doing everything he can out there, and Mike Williams out. So I'm going to take Adams as less.
All right, Ben?
Yeah, same. Their situations, one got a lot worse with his starting quarterback being out, and Keenan Allen's situation got a lot better with the other target hog on that team being out. So yeah, give me Keenan Allen for more points.
The backups is Hoyer, right?
No. Yeah,
I feel like that would be too obvious with...
I think that's what it is.
With Garoppolo and McDaniel. you just got these guys all following each other around the league.
Oh yeah, it is. No, it is Hoyer.
It's Hoyer, that's funny. Then they have the rookie. They have O'Connell, unless they start the rookie, which I doubt.
But that'd be cool. But
I mean...
Maybe they surprise us.
What you got, you know?
Either way, I mean, Keenan Allen.
No, I'm gonna also say Keenan Allen.
Yeah.
All right, and then the last question is the number of undefeated teams after week four, over under is 1.5. There's currently 3 undefeated teams.
Yeah, it's San Francisco, the Eagles, and Miami are undefeated right now. I'm gonna take the over because schedule wise, just for reference on this one. Niners have Arizona at home. Eagles have Washington. Eagles are also at home. Miami's going up to Buffalo. So I think you'll still see at least 2 if Buffalo is able to beat the high-flying offense of the Dolphins.
All right. Ben?
I also say over. I think all 3 of those teams win. I think the Niners are one of the toughest teams to beat in the league right now. The Eagles still look really good. Their defense is playing great. And I think Miami is going to take
Niners this. Should not do what the Cowboys went and did.
No, but they're not going to do that. They're a way better team than Dallas. So.
Yeah, no, and they're also.
Yeah.
All right. This one's tough. I'm going to take the under. I'm going to be different.
Who's losing?
So 2 upsets. Okay.
Who do you got losing?
Me. I don't feel confident in this. I'm not gonna lie. I'm just,
there's no way Washington can pull an upset with the way that Howell's playing. So you're like looking for 2 horrible upsets here, but you wrote it down. It's written. We can't delete it.
I mean, Buffalo certainly can beat Miami.
Yeah, that's fair.
And then, like, I don't know.
And then Dobbs continues to dominate for Arizona. And dude, they beat the Niners.
It wouldn't surprise me. But I think the Eagles are going to lose, too.
No, I can't lose. I can't watch. Okay, well, we'll be talking about this next week.
We will. We definitely will. I mean, that's a division game, right?
Yeah.
So, wait, who are they playing?
The Washington Commanders, soon to be again the Redskins, yeah. Because they got sued.
Yeah, I saw that. That was awesome. All right. Actually, yeah, I'm going to leave it.
You're going to leave it, but you realize the error of your ways. Okay, we got it.
Yeah, no, I might. All right, so the special item this week is the time turner, and this has changed from last year. So last year, you just... it let you go up against your team score from last year, but it's actually changed now. So the new time turner is you pick a player to score more fantasy points than last week. The stipulations are the player must have played a full game and had not been out or injured going into the games this past week. So if you get that right, you win 2 coins. Ben, who are you going to go with?
I'm going to take Devonta Smith. Little bit of a down week for him last week. I think he bounces back, has a good week this week, and I think he only was in the 7, 8, 9 point range, depending on your scoring. So I think he hits double digits this week. Maybe gets in the end zone. That'd be an easy way for him to get past. And on that team, he's definitely one of their top options. So look for him to get back in double digits this week.
All right, Diego.
Oh, my teams are so bad.
Well, it doesn't have to be on your.
Doesn't have to be on your team.
It's just anybody.
Oh, anybody?
Yeah.
No, you know what? I'll take someone on my team. So I'll take CeeDee Lamb. Dallas, like we just said, went and completely embarrassed themselves in Arizona. They're up against New England, but I think CeeDee should be able to beat his score, which was 8.2 for last week.
All right. I'm going to go with Bijan Robinson. I think he should have no issues getting a better score than he had last week. I know he was heavily picked last week. And
he got 8 last week, and yeah, he is up against Jacksonville in the international game.
In the international game. So,
you'll know early in the morning.
I'll wake up to disappointment. That will wrap up the questions for this week. I'm sure there'll be a lot of questions about the time turner because it has changed. So I'll when we put the announcement out tomorrow, I'll make sure there's more detail in that. But as usual, just feel free to ask if you have questions about it and how it's going to work. So Ben has a trade he would like to tell us about. Go ahead, Ben.
So during this recording and with inspiration from Diego, I went looking for a Josh Jacobs owner that I might be able to get a trade done with. I did post it in our group chat, so you guys might have seen it while we were talking. But so this is a keeper league, so it's a little bit modified, a little different than you guys might have in your leagues. But I was able to kick Tyler Boyd, Kyren Williams, and a fourth next year for Josh Jacobs and a fifth. So I went one round down, and I think I got rid of two guys that likely won't be starting on my team because I do have Sanders, I have A-Chain, I have Saquon Barkley, and now I get to add Josh Jacobs to that running back room. So I'm going to credit Diego for the inspiration on that one and going out and buying a guy that hopefully can help me win a championship in that league because it is one of my most coveted leagues. It's the league with all my friends back home. So
yeah, I like it. I mean, yeah, you're playing Williams there. You're putting up that fourth and just a swap for a fifth. So that's not a lot. Boyd is it's tough with Boyd because of all the receiving pieces there and just the Bengals not performing. So yeah, I like it.
I had to look if that was the league I was in with you. Like, damn it.
No, it's our yeah, it's our home league where we do a in-person draft. No tech, no screens, no anything. You got the stickers and your sheets of paper, and that's it. So
technology. It's the grumpy old man league,
right?
Yeah, except they're all young. No, I think it's a good trade. I think that's a reasonable value for both, and it gives you a boost this year. So, all right, so that's going to wrap up the show. Diego, any parting words for the listeners?
Yeah, thank you for listening. I would say week 3, don't get despaired. Do what Ben just did. Go and try to figure out some moves for your team. You can always turn it around. Stay at the waiver wire. Stay on it. Don't get despaired. It's still a long season to go. And if you want to discuss any trades or just chat about about fantasy, sleeper IDs, don't got them.
All right. Ben.
If you do find yourself in despair and you're looking to unload some parts from your teams, come find me. Whether that's for advice or to offer me trades, I love getting trades. Whether I auto reject them or we get to have a discussion, talking about fantasy football is one of the best parts of my day. That's for sure. Have a good time doing that with anybody. Either if we don't agree on values on stuff, it's always a good conversation. So you can find me on Sleeper at Rockstar12, 2Ks, 2Rs. Thank you everybody for listening. It's been a fun show.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you, everybody, for listening. If you can catch me on Sleeper at Solinator, you can find me on Twitter at the FF Degenerate. You can send us a question for the show, a comment, a trade question, some advice, dddffpod@gmail.com. You can find our website, www.daydreamingdegenerates.com. You can find us on Facebook. And we also have our Patreon giveaway, where we're giving away the signed Antonio Brown Tampa Bay Buccaneers jersey, the red with the white numbers. We're going to give that away on Thanksgiving to one of our Patreon subscribers. So every $5 that you donate to the show gets you one entry, so you can get multiple entries over the next couple of months. Good luck with your matchups this week. Don't forget about the Sunday early game, and make sure you put your Thursday night players in their regular starting spots. Thank you all for listening, and good night.